Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, I was hoping David Noble was going to be able to join us here in the 7 o'clock hour today. But, hey, that's all right. You had 4 hours of him on Monday. He always does a great job filling in on the show. But, yeah, he had some important meetings here later this morning. So I was hoping he was at least going to be able to maybe call into the show. But he's tied up. But that's all right. We got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. You can be our sidekick on the show, not just today, but practically every day, almost every hour here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. Let's see. This was something I wanted to play in the 6 o'clock hour of this show, and now I've got it ready to rock and roll for you. Jesse Waters had a great segment last night, the first 100 days of President Donald Trump. Waters made the point, you know, Elon Musk, he sent out that email to all these federal employees. Can you tell us what you did this week? Can you tell us the work that you did this past week? And for some reason, some people got offended by that. You would think that you would be happy to tell people what all you accomplished at your job. But no, that offended some people. But anyway, President Trump asked his cabinet, what did you do? What did we do in the first 100 days?
Your DOJ agencies have seized more than 22 million fentanyl pills.
The border is 99.99% safe, under control.
What we've seen since your election and the inauguration has been nothing short of a recruiting renaissance. We're reinforcing standards. We're going to be fit, not fat.
The CIA provided the intelligence that led to the apprehension of the Abigail bombers.
Over the past 100 days, we are already making America healthy again.
Energy costs have plummeted. Mortgage rates are down. Food costs are moving lower.
I'm not sure if anyone's heard, but the price of eggs is down.
It's nice to see the president hosting cabinet meetings instead of the first lady.
Yeah, great little montage there. There was another funny clip, too, where Elon Musk was in the house because Elon Musk is apparently going to be heading back to Tesla. The board is saying, Elon, we really need you back here at Tesla. I mean, we know you're trying to save America and everything, but we need you to come back here to Tesla in the midst of all these attacks and onslaughts against the company. But he was there not just with one hat, but with two.
Elon, I love the double hat letter. He's the only one that can do that. Get away with it.
Well, Mr. President, that I say I wear a lot of hats. Even my hat has a hat.
There you go, Elon Musk dropping dad jokes, bad dad jokes in the Oval Office, or in the cabinet meeting there with President Trump and the rest of the crew. Lot to talk about here this morning on this show. So the Montana legislature, and we're going to, you know, obviously the 9 o'clock hour is going to be focused on, you know, what happened, what didn't happen in the Montana legislature. I know there is massive disappointment out there across the state of Montana. So we'll get to that in the 9 o'clock hour. But here's a question I have. Okay, so the property tax bills got across the finish line. So what's going to happen for Billings? Are they going to be able to bust the cap and raise your taxes?
Military matters.
Top Pentagon officials testified to the House Oversight Committee on mysterious drone activity over the U.S. military bases seen over the last few years. In 2024 alone, 350 drones were detected at over 100 military installations. Rear Admiral Paul Spadaro, who serves as Vice Director for Operations for the Pentagon's Joint Staff, told the committee the number is going up and had this warning.
Should our adversary choose to employ drones for surveillance or even attack, we would not be prepared to adequately defend our homeland and only marginally capable to defend our military installations.
Back in February, the general who heads U.S. Northern Command, General Guio, warned that military commanders do not have the authority needed to protect their bases. He requested an expansion of authorities to outside the perimeter of the bases so they don't have to wait until the drone is over the sensitive military installations to take action. For Military Matters at the Pentagon, Liz Frieden, Fox News.
Donald Trump's America.
Economic growth slowed in the first quarter of 2025. GDP shrank 0.3 of a point.
And I have to start off by saying that's Biden. That's not Trump.
President Trump at a cabinet meeting Wednesday said his administration inherited a weak economy, rejecting analysts who point to his tariff rollout as contributing to economic uncertainty.
I heard Samsung is now, because of the tariffs, they're going to build massive facilities in the United States. If we didn't do the tariffs, they wouldn't be doing that.
The gross domestic product measures what's made in the U.S. Imports count against it, and that was a major driver of the downward trajectory. The Commerce Department says shipments into the country surged in the first quarter as importers pre-ordered ahead of tariffs being implemented, a trend likely to reverse in the year's second quarter. Consumer spending also rose 1.8%, with gains for both services and goods. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News. Spring.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are rocking and rolling. Finley can hear you if you call into our studio, 406-294-0970. What do you want to talk about? Give us a ring. Yeah, I'll get to this here in a couple of minutes. So, but with the property tax relief, well, for most of us, it'll be property tax relief. But for some of us, unfortunately, you're probably going to see your property taxes go up. Second homes, some businesses, apparently ag might even take a hit. But residential property tax taxpayers will see a significant relief. That's the good news. The other things I mentioned are the bad news. But remember, the city of Billings was saying, look, if property tax relief gets across the finish line, we're going to lose $7 million from our budget. And we're going to have to fire police officers and firefighters. Oh, really? You know, that was kind of a big oh for Pete's sake moment. But, okay, so in the final rush to wrap up the legislative session, what happened yesterday? I'd be very interested in hearing from some of the Billings lawmakers in particular, especially some, you know, guys like Senate Majority Leader Tom McGilvery, to see what he's hearing. Because as I understand it, I think the Billings area lawmakers voted against these bills because the city of Billings may use what just happened to stick their taxpayers with a higher property tax bill. Anyway, I'll talk more about that here in just a few minutes, but let's jump into the phone lines. We've got Fred in the Flathead first up this hour. Fred, good to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Good morning. Yeah, I was hoping David was going to be on. I kind of wanted to mix it up with him a little bit.
I know, but he'll be back. He'll be back.
Oh, yeah, maybe I'll bait him in. He's a brother, so this is in good spirit.
Yeah, bait him in. Tell him, hey, David, it's not that hard to call in, man. Come on, you can do it.
Yeah, so Monday, he was saying Monday, anybody who has a criticism of Kristi Noem isn't smart. So I'll kind of take him up on that. I'm just a guy out here screaming into the radio, so maybe I'm not that bright. But I think some of the criticisms of Kristi Noem lately are sort of frivolous, but there's some good criticism of Kristi Noem, especially as it relates to her weakness on the transgender issue, women in sports. She was very weak on that. She faced veto override from her legislature. She was afraid of the NCAA. And later, when I argued with David about the Flathead Warming Center, he took a strong property rights stance. Well, Kristi Noem was very adversarial to property rights for South Dakotans as it related to eminent domains for property seizures for carbon capture. So there's a couple of things. I think sort of recently.
Yeah, she took a lot of criticism over that veto protecting women's sports. I mean, she later fixed it and signed a bill into law, but she took a lot of heat over that one, and thankfully later fixed it.
She also, when faced with the criticism, she claimed that it was because people were afraid of strong women. But and I think recent criticism, gentle criticism maybe, I know like some is somewhat of an operator out in the field, when VIPs come out, and they're all kitted up, and it's for the cameras. It kind of it's a distraction. It kind of takes away. What would I think would have been more preferred would be if that VIP maybe attended a debriefing away from the cameras and really just let the people on the front lines know that Overhead has their back and is there to listen to them and hear their concerns and be in touch with the operation. So anyway, That's it. So I don't know. Maybe I'm not a smart person, but
very smart. No, it's always good to hear from you. Good to see your posts on X as well. Yeah, Fred, thanks for calling in. Did you see the back and forth between Lindsey Graham and, speaking of federal law enforcement, the guy that is being nominated for DEA administrator? Did you see that back and forth with him and Lindsey Graham talking about the MS-13 tattoos?
I did. Not to the details to comment on it, but I Lindsey Graham's not one of my favorites. So
I hear you there. I hear you there.
If he's saying something, I'm wondering what's going on behind that. So
well, this was a good back and forth. All right, let me play it for you here. Yeah. So Sean Hannity last night not only had Senator Lindsey Graham on the show with him, and Fred, thanks for the call, but he featured this back and forth between Lindsey Graham and the nominee to head up the DEA.
Based on your time as a DEA agent in the field, particularly in Mexico, these tattoos are consistent with MS-13 associations.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Do you know of any other set of combinations that would suggest some other organization this represents?
With this particular one, no, sir.
All right, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham joins us with me.
All right, I'll feature a little bit more of that back and forth with Senator Lindsey Graham. But, yeah, the bottom line is this. The fake news media and the Democrats are lying when they say, oh, Donald Trump claims that this Kilmore, who they call the Maryland man, that he had MS-13 written on his fingers in tattoos. This guy with a background in federal law enforcement says, yeah, that's exactly what that says. But no, the fake news media and the Democrats want to straight up lie to the American people, all to attack Trump, all to defend a guy named Kilmore, who's from El Salvador and member of a criminal illegal alien gang. And by the way, they just found even more info on this guy beating up his wife. Maybe we'll get to that story next as well. Stephen Ballantyne next up on the phone line. Steve, what's going on? Steve, are you there? All right, maybe he dropped off. Okay, going once, going twice. All right, you can call back in, Steve, if you want to. So the latest report on Kilmore, a guy named Kilmore, the Democrats want to bring him back to America, so I guess gangbanging thugs like him can, Kilmore. There's a new report out. You know, they already told you that he's been suspected of human trafficking. They already showed you the law enforcement officials who said, yeah, the guy's MS-13. They already showed you some of the court reports showing his wife complaining about him and domestic abuse. Well, there's more to follow on that front that's now been exposed as well.
It's May 1st, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. May 1st is better known as May Day. Over the years, May Day has taken on many meanings, from ancient religious celebrations to the more modern interpretation as International Workers' Day. Also on this date, in 1920, George Herman Ruth, better known as Babe to baseball fans everywhere, hit his first career home run for the New York Yankees against who else but the team that would go on to be their longtime arch rivals, the Boston Red Sox. The animated children's series about a sponge and his friends that live in a pineapple under the sea.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants debuted in 1999. If it's your birthday today, you share it with famed frontierswoman and sharpshooter Martha Jane Cannery, better known as Calamity Jane, born in 1852. I'm Tushar Saxena with your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Securing America.
The president's pick to head up Customs and Border Protection, Rodney Scott, is a former chief of the Border Patrol. In his confirmation hearing, he verified to Democratic Senator Ben Ray Lujan of New Mexico that most drug seizures occur at ports of entry.
Yes or no, is CBP's inability to screen incoming, and I would contend outgoing, cargo put CBP officers and American communities at risk?
Screening the volume of traffic coming across the border to include the seaports, the rail, it is challenging.
He says they're trying to invest more in inspection equipment and AI. Vermont Senator Peter Welch asked how he'd navigate the Trump administration's deportation plans with the need for farm workers.
We've got to have access to labor.
But Scott said that's what the visa system is for.
I don't support asking law enforcement officers to not enforce the law.
He added it's up to Congress if they want to change the laws, but until they do, agents under his leadership would enforce them. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Charges have been dropped against South Dakota ranchers Charles and Heather Maude. Ben Patterson, assistant U.S. attorney for the Federal District Court in the Western Division of South Dakota, signed a motion to dismiss the indictment. The Maudes are a South Dakota ranching family who were indicted separately nearly a year ago on charges of theft of federal property stemming from a fence line dispute on a fence built before either were born. South Dakota representatives visited the allotments in question last week with Tom and Randy Hamilton and Marie and Jackie Maude, the couple's parents, and saw the fence line in question. South Dakota Speaker Pro Tem Carla Lambs was one of the representatives in attendance.
It's a small parcel of ground that we're dealing with here, and it's just how did we get to this point with a criminal indictment over something that literally this land is maybe worth like $15,000, and why couldn't this have been settled over a cup of coffee and an agreement to work together going forward?
Many groups have pled with U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins and others in D.C. to dismiss the charges. The U.S. attorney who signed the original summons, Allison J. Ransdell, a Biden appointee, is expected to soon be replaced by Ren Parsons, who served under the first Trump administration. Representative Lambs said dismissing the charges is the right thing to do.
This is three words. It's wrong, wrong, wrong. So let's get it right.
I'm Lane Nordland.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I just got way too much stuff in front of me here today. There is way too many things to talk about. It's like, what do we talk about? What do we not talk about? Why don't you guys help out? You tell us what you want to talk about. Send us a message on the Montana Talks app, or you can call right now, 406-294-0970. Let's see, Stephen Ballantyne back on the phone lines there. Yes, yeah, Steve, tried to get to you before the break, but thanks for calling back in. What's going on?
Well, you know, I'm at the age of, you know, being able to draw Social Security if I want. But I'm still working my butt off, trying to make a little extra money to pay the difference when they start taxing my Social Security. So that was my question. Why does it take so long? I mean, wouldn't it be just like maybe a half a day, few hours, to sit there and say, hey, we want to eliminate taxing the Social Security of the people that actually pay taxes in the state of Montana? Is it that hard to just bring it up, or why does it have to be like a week-long drug-out thing about the, you know, and was it even brought up this year?
It was brought up, and I think I can't remember if it got killed in committee or killed on the floor. But, yeah, I think to me that's one of the biggest slaps in the face of this legislative session, if you ask me, because, okay, previous Republican legislators have passed a bill to stop taxing Social Security benefits. We're one of only a handful of states that still does that. And it was vetoed. It was blocked by then Democrat Governor Steve Bullock. But now we've got a Republican governor. We've got a Republican majority legislator. But as we saw, the Democrats effectively ran the session this year with a handful of Republicans, not just in the Senate, but in the House, helping out the Democrats, too. And so it's like, wow, you guys just went on a massive spending spree. I think the number that the Montana Freedom Caucus put out was that they're going to raise spending by 18% over the next biennium. I'm hopeful that hopefully a massive chunk of that will get vetoed by Governor Greg Gianforte. One of the questions I'm going to have later on for our lawmakers is how much of that can he veto? How much of it can he not line item veto? So that's one of the things I'm interested in. But here they go on a massive spending spree with your money. And so, Steve, you put it in a good perspective here. They're going on a spending spree with your Social Security money, with your tip money, if you're a waiter or a waitress. They're going on, right. They're taking your paycheck and going on an 18% spending spree with your freaking money. But in this big surplus that they had, they couldn't figure out a way to stop taxing your Social Security benefits. The income tax relief is going to be huge. That's very important. It's very good they got that done. But
they could have, it could have been bigger income tax relief, frankly.
What does it take for them to bring it up to the floor? I mean, does a Democrat control what they can speak about, what they can bring up on the floor?
Or
of our legislature, can they just bring it, one of our good legislature people just bring it up and says, hey, we're going to do Social Security, we're going to try to get, do something on Social Security tomorrow or something, And here I'm working. I could actually draw it if I want to right now, but I'm planning on working for quite a few more years if I can. And the extra money that I'm making now, I'm kind of getting towards retirement, it will probably pay for the money that they're taking right now.
Yeah, and how many people had to come out of retirement to pay for all the inflation that we saw under the Joe Biden, John Tester inflation, right? I don't want to be all negative here, although I think there are, so many disappointments with this legislative session where effectively the Associated Press had a big report. In fact, let me see if I can pull that up for you here. I know Jeremy Carl had sent a post on X about it here. So I think that's probably the fastest way for me to find this story. At Real Jeremy Carl on X, senior fellow at the Claremont Institute, lives in Bozeman, Montana. Here we go. So this is the headline from the Associated Press. Montana Republicans dominated the 2024 election. Things got weird as some sided with the Democrats. But if you look at the headline that was actually included in the image on the post on X, it says Montana Republicans dominated the 2024 election. How did Democrats gain control of the legislature? Because even though they were the minority party in the legislature, they effectively had control of the legislature because a handful of Republicans in the Senate and a handful of Republicans in the House consistently voted with Democrats or voted against good conservative bills. Not always, but it is this massive spending spree. How the heck do you think that got passed through both chambers? Jeremy Carl, he said this, it's a tough race between Montana, Texas, and Florida for who has had the worst GOP legislature in the country. Heads need to roll here in Montana. That's what Jeremy Carl had to say. All right, what about Billings? Are taxpayers in the city of Billings, largest town in Montana, are they about to get hit with higher property taxes because of their city government? Post on Facebook by a gentleman named Adam Kern. A post on Facebook by a gentleman named Adam Kern. A friend shared this with me yesterday. He said this, food for thought. Chris Kukulski, the Billings city administrator, is paying lobbyists to keep our property taxes high and to have opportunities to have higher mill levies than the state wants a cap at. And then he put in bold letters, he is using our money to pay for lobbyists to keep our property taxes high. So anyway, this was the audio that he shared from the Zoom call with the city administrator and the city council.
Are involved with Senate Bill 542, except for Fitz swaps out Lear. So Jones, Thain, Gall, Gasmeyer and Fern are both on both committees. So I've been in communication today with our lobbyist team at Helena, as well as Kelly Lynch from the League of Cities and Towns. We do expect one of these bills to come out of this process. There's the bills look very similar to how they looked over this past week. Again, not to Billings' liking, because they do override our city charter. I did confirm our preferred Senate Bill 90 is dead, and not expected to come back. But both of these bills going to conference, they include the language that we've been seeing here for the past week, the tweak that we did request in language over these past several days. As you'll recall, a week ago, the council stuck with shall as being at the beginning of the paragraph. In other words, the state of Montana telling us in Sunburst, you shall do this in the first year as far as what your mill levy cap is, the new mill levy cap under their perspective. We did, however, ask that the second or third, towards the end of that paragraph, they switch out a shall for May, because they're referring to future years' levies. And we've never wanted, it's never been the intent, the rest of Montana or ourselves to be forced.
Anyway, so what is the bottom line? What does that mean? What are they trying to do? What happened in the final hours of the legislative session? This is why I'd be really interested in hearing from somebody like Senate Majority Leader Tom McGillivray, or one of the Billings lawmakers. Because, look, if you live in Missoula, Bozeman, your liberal city council, your liberal county commissioners, doesn't matter what property tax relief you get from the state, they're going to take it, and they're going to take more of it, and they're going to continue taking more of it. But Billings has had a cap. And I threw the question out there a while back, is Billings about to bust a cap on their taxpayers that's mandated by their city charter? What it sounds like is the legislature, handful of Republicans and Democrats, are forcing them to bust a cap on your property.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, a lot of big topics to get to here this morning. Let me do a quick calendar recon here. 8 o'clock hour. We'll have more open phones time in the 8 o'clock hour. And 9 o'clock hour, yeah, that's when our legislative update's going to take place. But yeah, so back to the property tax relief they got signed off on from the legislature, and the governor, I saw a post from him on X. It looks like he will sign this hybrid property tax relief plan into effect here. And it's a liberal news outfit, the Montana Free Press, but they had a pretty good write-up that I think explains what came out. It was a write-up by Eric Dietrich. Lawmakers send second home tax to governor. Governor Greg Gianforte is likely to sign what has been his signature policy for offering property tax relief to homeowners and landlords. Let's see here. Following months of debate, Montana lawmakers have cast the final votes to send a landmark property tax relief measure to the desk of Governor Greg Gianforte, aiming to reduce taxes on homeowners and landlords by, in part, raising taxes on second homes and Airbnb-style short-term rentals. And the idea behind that is, you know, folks were trying to figure out a way to, how could you just tax the out-of-staters that own second homes in Montana and use that to provide additional property tax relief to, you know, homeowners in Montana? But you can't target, you know, one class like that. So instead, you just have to make it apply across the board, where you provide the property tax relief on your primary residence, but then they're apparently raising taxes on second homes. But I guess my question is this. We have a massive budget surplus. Why do we need to raise taxes on anybody? And again, to me, this is why we need overall fundamental reform to our property tax system. The fact that we tax property based off of the value of the home instead of what you paid for the home is the reason why we're in this mess, and we will continue to be in the mess, regardless of whatever kind of relief comes out of the legislative session. But anyway, back to this question of the city of Billings. So the question I have is, okay, so has the legislature, you know, with a handful of Republicans and the Democrats, have they now effectively forced, or are they trying to force, the city of Billings to be able to bust the cap that's in their city charter and raise property taxes on their residents in order to make up for what they perceive, again, I say perceive, to be a budget shortfall as a result of residential property tax relief? I'll tell you what, I hope our city council members, if that's the case, if that's what happened here in the final day of the session,
And they're trying to be able to say, oh, that's it. We can do what Missoula and Bozeman do. We can, well, we'll just raise taxes on our people to make up for the tax relief that the state tried to deliver to them. I hope the city council stands firm and rejects that very premise that somehow they have to raise taxes because the legislature is telling them to do so. So anyway, that'll be a big story to follow here, especially for those of you in the Billings area. But it's also a reminder for our listeners elsewhere, Bozeman, Butte, Missoula, all sorts of great small towns in between, that, again, remember, the biggest problem with our property taxes is not coming from the state of Montana. It's locally. And the fact that because we have a property tax system that is based off of the value of your property, and because there is virtually no control on the spending of local governments and county governments, they'll just keep spending, and keep demanding more money from you and attempting to negate whatever property tax relief the legislature is trying to deliver here. Okay, into some other big stories of the day. I got one alibi. Yesterday, I was able to catch up with Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines. So switching tracks entirely to a different topic here. One story, you know, we had a great conversation with Senator Steve Daines. We talked about President Trump's first 100 days, and I've got a summary and the audio on our Montana Talks website right now. But, you know, we talked about the first 100 days. We talked about a potential trade deal with India that would be huge news for Montana farmers, especially our pulse crop producers. The one story that I wanted to get to, we ran out of time. This, to me, is a huge, huge story. And it's basically being ignored by the entirety of the legacy media. This is massive. Now, whether you consider, and I talked off air briefly about this with Senator Daines. I said, look, whether people consider themselves, you know, Senator Daines is pro-life. I'm pro-life. I know many of you are pro-life. But whether you consider yourself to be pro-life or pro-choice, if that's what you want to call it, what about women's safety? What about the safety of women? What about the safety of young girls? So Senator Steve Daines sent out a statement. There was a major, hugely significant report that came out this week. This was a report from the Ethics and Public Policy Center about the alarming effects of the abortion pill on women. The new study from the Ethics and Public Policy Center found that serious adverse effects from the abortion pill are approximately 22 times more frequent than recognized by the Food and Drug Administration. One in 10 women who undergo a mifepristone abortion experience serious adverse effects within 45 days, far higher than the rate reported in clinical trials on the drug label. So again, one in 10 women have serious adverse effects from the abortion pill. The FDA, which we know has been bought off by Planned Parenthood, federal government, right? They don't want you to know about this. They don't want you to, you know, that, well, now you've got the Trump administration in charge, so they're going to allow a little bit more truth to come out now. But one in 10 women have a serious adverse effects here. Serious adverse effects from the abortion pill are approximately 22 times more frequent than what has been recognized by the FDA. The abortion mill industry doesn't care about the harm that is caused to women. They want to profit off this. They want to push this. And they don't want you to know about the potential harm that can occur from it. Anyway, Senator Steve Daines said this: the science is clear. The abortion pill is not safe for women, and it never has been. This recent study is proof that pro-abortion advocates care more about promoting their radical agenda than they do about women's health. I urge the FDA to reinstate safety protocols for mifepristone so that we can protect the health of women and uphold the dignity of life. Yeah, very big study that came out this week, and you can tell it's just being ignored.
by so many in the media. You know, what about some Montana-specific numbers on how many abortions are taking place every year with this risky pill? All right, back into the phone lines we go. Chris in Billings, what's your thoughts? Legislative session sounds like you're wanting to sound off like the rest of us.
One local and one national. The strategic point of having briefings in the morning so they can set the talking points right away. And the other thing I noticed, I surfed all the channels while it was on. Fox Live Now was the only station that carried it live. Everybody else did not. And I know it cuts into their programming. And I'm going to get right to my next point. Gianforte, touting that big tax break of, what, 0.25? It seems like either he doesn't have a lot of power, he's not conservative, or, you know, do you know what's going on? He just doesn't have the power to do what he can.
Well, are you talking about the income tax relief or the property tax relief?
Income tax, I'm sorry.
Well, the income tax relief, two things. Well, first off, his income tax plan, the plan that the governor was supporting was actually, I believe, even better than the plan that he eventually signed into law. But,
okay.
Yeah, no, I've said this before on the show. I think the governor actually had a better, more conservative income tax relief plan that was across-the-board income tax relief. But Speaker Lear, the Speaker of the House, had a compromise plan, and that got across the finish line in the House and then in the Senate as well. I wonder if some of the even more conservative Republicans in the legislature just voted against the more conservative tax plan because maybe they didn't like the author, the sponsor of the bill in the Senate or something like that. But nonetheless, no, the huge thing that you're going to see in the income tax plan that the governor signed into law is the expansion of the lower tax bracket. A lot of people who were in the higher tax bracket are now in the lower tax bracket. So not only were both rates reduced, but a lot more people were plowed into the lower tax bracket. That's where you're going to see the big relief.
At Firestone Complete Auto Care, we hold our service to the highest standard. That's why we have thousands of ASE-certified technicians nationally. So don't wait any longer. Give us a call and book your next appointment today.
It's news commentary.
100 days of resistance, but what are the Democrats for? I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Every hour of every day, Fox News Radio is there with the latest breaking news and information you rely on.
This is a Fox News alert.
I'm Lisa Brady.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
With Fox News correspondents around the globe.
At the White House.
Simon Owen in London.
On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The news that matters most to you. The top headlines, all in one place. Listen and follow the Fox News hourly update at foxnewspodcasts.com or ask your smart speaker to play Fox News.
From the day Donald Trump came down the golden escalator to announce his candidacy in 2015, I've known what he's for, what he'll do, and why he'd like to do it. Secure the border, deport illegal aliens, renegotiate trade deals, end endless wars, lower taxes, and restore law and order. And 100 days into his second term, none of that has changed, and he's managed to accomplish a lot of it already. But as for the Democrats, I still could not tell you what they are for. We know they're against deporting illegal aliens, even criminals. They're against renegotiating trade deals, against ending the war in Ukraine, against locking up criminals and prosecuting thugs, against tax cuts for 80% of Americans. But what are they for? And if they are for the opposite of all that, woof, they've learned nothing. They certainly offer nothing to the American people. So a piece of advice to them, find a message, find your sanity. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The tract of political land where Democrats now reside is unique. It's not the same zip code after the legendary House blowout in 2010, where Democrats lopped an historic 63 seats. President Obama remained in the White House. And it's even a different electoral co-op for Democrats compared to 2016, when President Trump unexpectedly prevailed over Hillary Clinton. Democrats controlled neither the House nor the Senate in 2017, but a lack of support for President Trump in Congress and his inexperience at governance undercut sizable portions of his legislative agenda. We don't know what the political real estate market will look like in 2026, but Democrats now occupy a remote, unfamiliar province. Democrats are trying to map and navigate this alien territory. But the key with any piece of real estate is how you use it. Do you build on it? Do you rent it out? We'll know in November 2026 if Democrats successfully converted their property into something useful or if it's an undesirable total wreck.
Surgery.com to learn more and enter for a chance to win. Don't miss out. Your smile deserves the best.
Only life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Man, we still got a whole host of topics to cover here. I had a really funny message from Tim in Savage yesterday. Did you guys see the story about Tim Walz talking about why Kamala Harris picked him to be the VP candidate? Anyway, funny story, funny audio. Funny response from Tim and Savage. I'll save that for the 8 o'clock hour because we got a couple of great guests who just popped into our studios here. Tacos and tequila. Tacos and tequila.
That's
man, my goodness. Somebody was just asking me about, hey, what do you guys have going on your show on Monday, May 5th? And I was like, well, I hope a massive Cinco de Mayo party, you know. But hey, that's you've got a pre-Cinco de Mayo party going on. Tacos and tequila. We've got Sean O'Daniel here in the house and also Michelle. Michelle with the Billings Depot. Yeah, good to see both of you.
Good to see you. Michelle from State Farm.
I'll have you.
I was going to say, yeah, Michelle from State Farm. No, Michelle from the Depot. Sean O'Daniel from State Farm.
That's it. There you go.
Yeah. Well, Michelle, why don't you kick things off? This is a benefit for the Billings Depot.
Yeah, we put this on every year. This is our fifth annual event, Tacos and Tequila. It was the brainchild of Stephen Heinemann, the owner of Stacked, and it is almost doubled in popularity every single year. Last year we had over 800 people, and this year we're expecting over 1,000.
Sean, I was telling you guys during the break, Volley Fest is happening. So we've got friends from all across Montana that are going to be watching volleyball for about 2 days straight. So they might need to take a break and go have some tacos and tequila.
Exactly. Is that at Metro Park or where is that?
That's at Metro, yeah.
Metro, okay.
Yeah.
I might have to go over there and just round everybody up and bring them over to the depot then.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So this is taking place Sunday from noon to 4 p.m.
Yep, so from noon to 4, we've got, what do we have, 10 restaurants? Yeah, we've got 10 restaurants this year. And food trucks, and this year we're not doing the competition, but we're basically letting the chefs and restaurants be creative and create their own dishes and see what they can do with tacos. You know, so we can. Last year we had dessert tacos. We've had a little bit of everything. So pretty excited for this one. Yeah,
that's really cool. Yeah, what's your favorites, Michelle? I mean, man, I've even had like pork belly tacos before.
Well, and Mad Pizza's coming. They're bringing pizza taco.
Interesting.
A taco pizza. Clearly, my coffee has not been yet this morning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, and the Billings Depot is just such a beautiful location as well. It brings you in. I just love having the railroad tracks right behind there. You know, somebody who rode the railroad tracks from Glasgow to Calais or to Whitefish, you know, Christmas and sometimes in the summer, it, you know, always brings back good memories.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed it comes back again.
They're talking about it.
I know.
That if they restored that southern route, that the depot would be the depot again.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, that would be a huge influx of people walking around downtown and just boosting the economy down in that district. It would be fantastic.
You could take the tacos and the tequila and hop on a train and go to a Cat game or a Grizz game.
A little taco train.
A taco train. There you go. There you go. Well, Sean, what do you want to tell us why this is such a fun event, why you like to be a part of it?
Yeah, so we do these with Magic City's Best every year. We started this during COVID to kind of help out the restaurants when they were struggling. No one was going to restaurants. No one was going out to eat. So we started this in 2020 just in my office. We started, you know, getting food from, ordering food from restaurants, bring them to my office, tasting them. I mean, we love to eat, so we were like, why don't we do this? Why don't we see who's the best burger? So we started doing this, and then after about a year, then we started asking the restaurants if they wanted to donate the food, and we could donate to a nonprofit each month, and we started doing that. Then we teamed up with Billings Depot and Michelle, and then we started doing these big events. So Tacos and Tequila had already been going on, so we partnered with them, and it was a match made in heaven.
Yeah, and you get some Montana beef there, it looks like, as well, at the Montana Beef Council in support. Less than a minute to go here. Info and tickets at BillingsDepot.org. I think historic preservation, how does this money, how do you put it to use for the depot? Yeah,
All of the proceeds from these events, as well as just regular bookings, booking weddings, booking business meetings at the depot, they all support preservation of our historic campus. So, yeah, come on out, enjoy some tacos, tequila, and support our campus.
All right. Well, great to see both of you. Thanks for what you do. I appreciate it. Yeah, Sean always puts on a great Halloween event as well.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
He's Mr. Events.
That's it.
Mr. Magic City Event Guy now. We'll just call him. All right. We got open phone lines coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, plus an incredible female veteran, one of our great women warriors later on in the 8 o'clock hour for the giving stuff.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine in the area today, an isolated shower is still possible, mainly towards the Billings area. High temperature readings will stay from the lower to middle 60s. For tonight, with clear to partly cloudy skies, lower to middle 40s, and the outlook for Friday calls for more sunshine with high temperatures in the lower to middle 70s to finish out the work week. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Rounding up illegal aliens already in the country, the state more precisely shifting resources back to Montana. And what about border buoys on Lake Coconusa in northwest Montana? Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We've got a look at northern border security in Montana. This after several illegal aliens were rolled up by the Border Patrol in Whitefish, Montana. Full report, MontanaTalks.com.